I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now! For more than 15 years, CJSF 90.1 FM has been bringing Democracy Now! To the greater Vancouver area every weekday at 11 a.m. From New York, this is Democracy Now!
ICE agents have assaulted Evanston residents, beaten people up, grabbed them, abducted them, taking people off the street once again because of the color of their skin. It is an outrage. Our message for ICE is simple. Get the hell out of Evanston.
We'll speak to the mayor of Evanston, Illinois, where agents were recently filmed repeatedly punching a man in the head and pointing a gun at a group of bystanders. Meanwhile, federal agents raided a Spanish immersion preschool in Chicago, dragging a teacher out of the school in front of parents and kids, then taken. The agents raiding communities and the people trying to stop them. A new investigation by Latino USA.
The neighborhood patrols in L.A. begin before sunrise. Teachers and school psychologists warning their neighbors about armed men in unmarked cars waiting to take people.
We're looking for vehicles with paper plates.
ICE.
We'll speak to the Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist Maria Hinojosa. Finally, to Gaza.
There's every talk about ceasefire, about reconstruction, about pushing back into a peace process. But the reality is that Israel continues to kill daily with impunity, continues to restrict aid, and there is no effort to bring accountability to the fact that Israel has just committed a two-year genocide, and that's still ongoing. And there's no effort to either end the genocide, bring accountability, or allow Palestinians justice or the right to self-determination.
We'll speak to the Palestinian analyst and writer Tarek Bakr, author of the new memoir, Fire in Every Direction. All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. Israel's military has killed at least two Palestinians in separate attacks in central Gaza, claiming it fired on men who approached the so-called yellow line that leaves more than half of the Gaza Strip under Israeli occupation. The attacks bring the number of Palestinians killed by Israel to at least 241 since the U.S. brokered ceasefire took effect October 10th. Separately, civil defense workers in Gaza say many Palestinians remain trapped under the rubble of a building that collapsed in Gaza City's Daraj neighborhood. The collapse followed warnings by the United Nations that tens of thousands of displaced Palestinians have been forced to find shelter in severely damaged and unsafe buildings. The Norwegian Refugee Council reports Israel's allowing just 100 aid trucks a day to enter Gaza, far short of the 600 trucks per day Israel pledged under the ceasefire deal. This is Abdelmajid Al-Zaidi, Palestinian father of nine whose family joined crowds at a soup kitchen in Khan Yunis Wednesday.
Our life is difficult. Dead people are still better than us. We eat the same food every day. Why? Because we have no other option but the soup kitchen itself. The soup kitchens all over the Gaza Strip are widespread, but this soup kitchen here, because it is in the middle of Al-Mawasi, there's a big number of people. We all come here to the soup kitchen to eat and be able to live and continue living.
In the occupied West Bank, Israeli forces carried out overnight raids on Palestinian communities, killing a 15-year-old boy in the town of Al-Yamun near the city of Jenin. Palestinian sources said soldiers struck 15-year-old Murad Fawzi Abu Saifan with four bullets, then prevented ambulance crews from reaching him, leaving him to bleed to death before seizing his body. It's day 37 of what's become the longest federal government shutdown in U.S. history. On Wednesday, the FAA said it'll cut traffic by 10% at 40 U.S. airports beginning Friday, unless the shutdown ends immediately. Up to 4,000 daily flights would be affected. Some 13,000 air traffic controllers and 50,000 Transportation Security Administration agents have been ordered to work without pay during the shutdown. This is Nick Daniels, president of the National Air Traffic Controllers Association, speaking on CNBC.
Most of these air traffic controllers right now are on 6-day work weeks, 10 hours a day, only 4 days off in a month, balancing their work and with their families. And right now they're saying, I can't continue to do this because I can't even get a second job, so I'll just resign. That's the repercussions of this prolonged shutdown.
A new analysis by the Center on Budget and Policy Priorities finds nearly 1.2 million U.S. households, or almost 5 million people, will receive $0 in SNAP food assistance benefits this month. That's despite two federal court rulings that the Trump administration must tap contingency funds to keep SNAP entitlements paid during the shutdown. Meanwhile, the shutdown is delaying federal funding to the low-income home energy assistance program, which helps some 6 million U.S. households pay their heating or cooling bills. About one out of every six U.S. households is currently behind on their energy bills. In Sudan, a drone strike killed at least 40 people at a funeral in North Kordofan. Local officials blame the Rapid Support Forces paramilitary group for the strike. North Kordofan is east of Darfur, where a brutal massacre has been unfolding as the RSF took control of the city of Al-Fashir. The attack comes as UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres said the civil war in Sudan is spiraling out of control. The Department of Homeland Security has announced it's ending deportation protections for immigrants from South Sudan. 230 South Sudanese nationals are currently approved to live and work in the U.S. under the Temporary Protected Status Program. According to DHS, immigrants from South Sudan will now have about 60 days to leave the United States. This comes despite the fact the United Nations has warned of escalating armed conflict in South Sudan and widespread food insecurity in the region. The Trump administration also recently ended deportation protection for immigrants from Afghanistan, Cameroon, Haiti, Honduras, Nepal, Nicaragua, Syria, and Venezuela. In Chicago, a federal judge Wednesday ordered authorities to improve conditions for immigrants detained at the Broadview ICE jail. Mounting court testimony detailed dangerously overcrowded cells, at times holding up to 150 people with overflowing toilets, no access to beds, and drinking water that one detainee said, quote, tasted like sewer, unquote. The judge's order requires officials to provide detainees with a clean bedding mat and sufficient space to sleep, soap, towels, toilet paper, toothbrushes, toothpaste, menstrual products, and prescribed medications. Prisoners will also be allowed to shower at least every other day and will have 3 full meals and bottled water upon request. Meanwhile, a federal judge in Oregon has once again barred the Trump administration from sending National Guard troops to quell anti-ICE protests in Portland. We'll have more on this story later in the broadcast. In more immigration news, federal agents arrested a teacher at a daycare center in Chicago in front of parents and children. Alderperson Matt Martin told NBC News the educator was followed inside by ICE and violently taken away. In one video of the incident, the educator can be heard telling authorities in Spanish that she had papers. Democratic Congress member Mike Quigley said the teacher was a trusted member of the community with a work permit. Meanwhile, in Los Angeles, federal immigration agents arrested a U.S. citizen during a raid on a Home Depot, then drove off in his car with his 1-year-old daughter still in the back seat as onlookers shouted in protest, "There's a baby in the back." The man's mother told reporters she later received a call from an unknown number to pick up the girl. Both she and her granddaughter are U.S. citizens. We'll be speaking with Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist Maria Hinojosa of Latino USA. Mexico's president, Claudia Sheinbaum, was groped by a man as she was interacting with citizens on the streets of Mexico City. Video of the incident shows a visibly drunk man trying to kiss her neck and embrace her from behind as she removes his hands and turns to face him. The man was later arrested. This is President Sheinbaum explaining why she's decided to press charges.
And no, I repeat, this is not about being the president. Although if this happens to a president walking down the street, then what happens to other young women? So we cannot let it go as if it were nothing. So yes, I filed the complaint. It's a written petition submitted to the Attorney General of Mexico City, and I will meet with her to sign it formally before the public prosecutor without privileges, because we cannot let this pass. This is about women's dignity and the recognition of our rights.
California Republicans have filed a lawsuit challenging the state's new congressional maps. On Tuesday, California voters overwhelmingly passed Proposition 50 to counter Texas's redistricting effort earlier this year to garner five additional House seats for Republicans. In a social media post, President Trump said, quote, "The unconstitutional redistricting vote in California is a giant scam, and that the entire process, in particular the voting itself, is rigged," Trump said. In response to the lawsuit, Governor Newsom's spokesperson said, quote, "Good luck, losers." The Supreme Court has heard oral arguments in a major case challenging President Trump's authority to impose sweeping tariffs on foreign goods. On Wednesday, Solicitor General John Sauer argued Trump has the power to unilaterally impose the tariffs under a 1977 law known as the International Emergency Economic Powers Act, or IEEPA, which grants the president the authority to regulate commerce during wartime or other national emergencies. A majority of the Supreme Court justices appeared skeptical of that argument, siding with states and businesses who argued that the Constitution grants Congress, not the president, the power to impose taxes and regulate foreign commerce. This is Justice Sonia Sotomayor.
It's a congressional power, not a presidential power, to tax. And you want to say tariffs are not taxes, but that's exactly what they are. Degenerating money from American citizens.
The Supreme Court's agreed to an expedited schedule in the tariffs case, meaning a decision could come as soon as later this year. The U.S. is proposing that the United Nations Security Council lift sanctions on Syria's president, Ahmad al-Sharia, and members of his government before their visit to the White House next week. That's according to a draft U.S. resolution obtained by the Associated Press. Al-Sharia was the leader of the Islamist insurgent group HTS, or Hayat Tahrir al-Sham, which was formerly al-Qaeda's official wing in Syria before breaking off in 2016. Since 2014, HTS and its leaders were on the UN Security Council sanctions list. In Minneapolis, incumbent Democratic Mayor Jacob Frey has defeated Democratic Socialist challenger Omar Fateh in the city's ranked choice voting election. And in New York, Mayor-elect Zoran Mamdani unveiled his all-female transition team in Queens Wednesday, which includes Lina Khan, the former FTC commissioner under President Biden. Democracy Now! Asked Mayor-elect Mamdani for his message to ICE agents abducting immigrants from 26 Federal Plaza for the last several months. This is Mamdani's response.
My message to ICE agents and to everyone across this city is that everyone will be held to the same standard of the law. If you violate the law, you must be held accountable. And there is sadly a sense that is growing across this country that certain people are allowed to violate that law, whether they be the president or whether they be the agents themselves. And what New Yorkers are looking for is an era of consistency, an era of clarity, an era of conviction. And that is what we will deliver to them.
And those are some of the headlines. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman.
And I'm Nermeen Sheikh. Welcome to our listeners and viewers across the country and around the world. Federal agents continue to carry out raids across the Chicago area. On Wednesday, armed ICE agents in black vests chased a teacher into a Spanish-language daycare and preschool in front of children and parents. In video of the incident, the teacher can be heard screaming as the agents dragged her out of the school. Congressman Mike Quigley said the teacher was a trusted member of the community with a work permit. Chicago Alderman Matt Martin denounced the ICE raid, saying, quote, "If they can do this at a daycare where children are, where will they not go?" This comes just days after a federal agent in Evanston, Illinois, was filmed repeatedly punching a man in the head while he was pinned to the pavement. Moments earlier, an agent had pointed a gun at a group of bystanders.
Yeah, put the gun away! We gotta shoot people!
Evanston's mayor, Daniel Biss, has launched two investigations into the actions of the federal agents. Biss has harshly criticized Trump's immigration crackdown and has taken part in protests outside the Broadview ICE jail. On Wednesday, a federal judge ordered improvements at Broadview after reports of inhumane conditions. During a protest outside the ICE jail in Broadview in September, Biss was hit by tear gas. Biss joins us now from Evanston, where he served as mayor since 2021. He's now running for Congress to fill the seat held by Democratic Congressmember Jen Schakowsky, who's retiring. Mayor Biss, thanks so much for being with us. Why don't we start off? I mean, there are so many stories right now in Chicago, but you're the mayor of Evanston. Talk about the two investigations that you've launched.
Well, on Friday, which was, by the way, Halloween, ICE and CBP were all over Evanston. It was a terrifying day. I couldn't go 2 minutes without a notification coming up on my phone. They're at this corner, they're at this corner, they're grabbing this landscaper and so forth. And they were doing what they usually do these days, which is drive around town looking for someone working on a lawn whose skin is not white and grab that person and abduct them. And so the rapid responders were out in force, and there was a lot of activity, and I was driving around trying to do what I could. And then, in the early afternoon, the following thing happened. The vehicle, which was driven by a CBP agent, for whatever that's worth, that had been driving around the region and was being followed by residents, which is what happens all the time, because our community is rising up against this invasion. They decided they don't want scrutiny, they don't want to be followed, they don't want to be observed, they don't want to be videotaped, and most of all, they don't want to be criticized. They appear to have acted deliberately to cause an accident. They jammed on the brakes right after going through an intersection and to force the car following them to rear end them, which of course created a scene, and there were people who gathered who were watching and who were yelling at them and blowing their whistles and screaming. And then they appear to have just started beating people up for no reason. And folks may have seen these videos that have gotten a lot of attention, including one where they've got this young man on the ground and his head is on the asphalt and they're literally punching him in the head. And then after a while of this, they jammed three people into their vehicle, abducted them, drove them around, and eventually later on released them. So if you think about it, and I very much appreciated the quotes that you played from Mayor-elect Mamdani a few minutes ago, if you think about it, the idea that people would come into our town, beat our residents up, force a car accident, take them away, if that was anybody except for a federal agent, they would be under arrest. And so our approach has been understanding that there's a lot of constraints relative to interactions between local government and federal law enforcement, to nonetheless do what we can to treat these situations like we would any other. And so we've launched investigations both into the traffic incident as well as into the violence that occurred on the scene. And we're in the process of going through that and figuring out the appropriate place to refer those investigations. But I feel that our residents have been attacked by a lawless entity, and we can't just stand by and pretend this is acceptable.
And Mayor Biss, what do you know about where people are being taken? As you said, people are being abducted, and where are they going?
Well, it's important to be clear. There are two different things happening here, each of which is awful, but they're different. The first is this, what they're kind of presenting as though it were immigration enforcement, what they would claim to people who don't live here and don't know better, that is about going after, quote, the worst of the worst, where what they're actually doing is, as I said, driving around town, looking, whether it's at a Home Depot where day laborers gather, or in on a lawn where people are working in a garden, or, as you heard, in a daycare center. They're looking for people who they've decided, based on the color of their skin and the job that they have, might be here without documentation, and they're just grabbing them. That's most of what they do. And then on Halloween, they took another step in the other front of their battle against our community, which is that they now understand that the resistance and the rapid response efforts are effective and are impeding their efforts to terrorize immigrants. And so they're now going after dissenters as well. So the first category, people who they are claiming are here without documentation, I think are typically taken to the Broadview Center. And then ultimately, you know, many are, of course, are deported. Some are eventually released. Some have some semblance of due process. Some seem not to. Those who they're going after, not for immigration-related reasons, but rather for essentially for being dissenters, seems, at least on Friday, on Halloween, those three individuals were driven downtown Chicago to the FBI. They were brought in. One of them, at least, was handcuffed to a bar. And then after a while, they were released without charges, without any formal arrest, and just sent off on their way.
Well, we'll ask Mayor Biss about the Broadview ICE facility that you mentioned. But first, we want to turn to one of the three U.S. citizens detained during the violent immigration raid in Evanston on Halloween. This is Jennifer Moriarty.
We were all taken to the FBI facility down on Roosevelt and kept there for a while and then released. We were never arrested. We were never charged. There's no paperwork involved in any of this. It was surreal and absolute. And the young man who was in the car, who was injured, repeatedly requested medical attention, and they refused to provide any type of medical attention to him.
So, Mayor Biss, Jennifer Moriarty was in conversation with you. We don't hear your voice there. So if you could talk about what she told you and how representative her experience is.
Well, her experience, from my standpoint, is somewhat miraculous because I haven't had the opportunity to have eyewitness reports of these interactions for the completely heart-wrenching reason that most people these monsters interact with then wind up deported, and so we don't hear from them. But her experience was kind of extraordinary. It was a combination of grotesque authoritarianism and almost comical incompetence, right? She told this story of how they weren't paying attention, and so they allowed her to, while cuffed, get her phone and call a friend. And just leave the phone running so that her friend was able to record what was going on inside the van. She talked about how they kind of kept driving around looking for a refuge where they wouldn't be jeered and yelled at and potentially impeded by angry residents who were protesting them, but they couldn't find anywhere in the Chicago area where they weren't being vocally criticized and followed because, as I said, the resistance that has grown around this nightmare is actually meaningful and effective and is saving people. But most of all, she said there was no professionalism, no clarity, no indication of why she was taken. They violently took her from the street where she lives, handcuffed her, drove her around town, brought her to the FBI, and then released her hours later, claiming that she was never under arrest. She was just, you know, having her freedoms and liberties taken essentially on a whim by angry agents who didn't like the fact that she was there on the scene criticizing them.
Mayor, we're going to end with this clip of President Trump. He was speaking on 60 Minutes to CBS's Nora O'Donnell, who questioned him about federal immigration agents using violent tactics.
More recently, Americans have been watching videos of ICE tackling a young mother, tear gas being used in a Chicago residential neighborhood, and the smashing of car windows. Have some of these raids gone too far?
No, I think they haven't gone far enough because we've been held back by the judges, by the liberal judges that were put in by Biden and by Obama.
You're okay with those tactics?
Yeah, because you have to get the people out.
So he says they haven't gone far enough, Mayor Biss. In this last 30 seconds, your response?
I'm just completely unsurprised because what we have seen here is a constant escalation. It is clear that in their view, no amount of violence is enough. They are going to be as brutal and violent as possible, and that's why we have to resist. I feel as though my community is under invasion from our own federal government. It has got to stop.
Mayor Daniel Biss, Democratic mayor of Evanston, Illinois, a suburb north of Chicago, who is running for Congress. We thank you so much for being with us. Coming up, Taken, the agents raiding communities and the people trying to stop them. A new investigation by Latino USA. Stay with us.
Eva pasando el trapo sobre la mesa y está cuidando que todo brille como una perla. Cuando llegue la patrona, que no se vuelva a quejar. No sea cosa que la acuse de ilegal. Se atiende los jardines, parecen de Disneyland. Maneja una troca vieja sin la licencia. No importa si fue taxista allá en su tierra natal. Eso no importa para el tío Sam.
Ice by La Santa Cecilia in our Democracy Now! Studio. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org. I'm Amy Goodman with Nermeen Sheikh.
As we continue to look at the Trump administration's federal immigration raids, we turn to a new investigation, radio investigation by Latino USA, Futuro Media, and Cal Matters. It's called Taken, the agents raiding communities and the people trying to stop them. This is a trailer for the special report.
The neighborhood patrols in L.A. begin before sunrise. Teachers and school psychologists warning their neighbors about armed men in unmarked cars waiting to take people.
We're looking for vehicles with paper plates.
ICE. In Chicago, a father killed during one of the first raids. In Mexico.
No estamos de acuerdo con esta forma de trato.
Even the president calls it psychological terror. And at the center of it all, Border Patrol's Gregory Bovino. But most of the people being detained have no criminal records. Some are even picked up during appointments. Taken, the raids, the man behind them, and the people trying to stop them.
We're joined now by Maria Hinojosa, a Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist, founder of Futuro Media. She's the host of Latino USA. Futuro's new investigation is titled Taken, the agents raiding communities and the people trying to stop them, produced in special collaboration with Cal Matters, independent media group in California. Maria, welcome back to Democracy Now! On the one hand, you have these brutal attacks on people from Chicago to Los Angeles. On the other hand, you have people fighting back. Can you talk about the journeys you took with these community groups that are taking observation of what these agents are doing into their own hands?
Yeah, I mean, it's great to be back with you, and thank you for having me. You know, we first started in L.A., and we were on the ground with Barrios Unidos, which does basically tracking on the streets of, when we were there, South Central. You have teachers, L.A. teachers, who before they go work on their job as a teacher are in cars going through neighborhoods and peering into cars to make sure that they are not ICE vehicles, and then alerting the community if there is someone there that is ICE, if there isn't. In the time that we were there, they didn't spot anyone, but there were many close calls. You know, they are very expert in seeing the tinted windows, strange cars that are appearing. But I have to say, again, and the mayor just said it, it feels surreal. It felt so surreal to be on the streets of L.A. having to patrol your own communities to defend them from the government and the federal agents. But this is, as the community member said, it would be worse if we weren't doing this. By doing this, at least we feel like we have some power to respond. And in Chicago, I mean, I'm a Chicago girl, you know? But this, when we first got there, the assaults were happening in the suburbs of Chicago, in West Chicago, and communities were pouring out onto the streets. I mean, one moment that stands out for me is actually a family of white people from West Chicago a mom, her kids, the father, and they were all wearing shirts that said Jesus was an undocumented immigrant, and they were carrying a huge Mexican flag. And I was like, what's happening? But this is what it looks like. And I have to say, this is extraordinarily, I mean, I can't even find the word, because it is a response. It's not that it's heartwarming. It is a natural response that citizens are having to feeling assaulted in their own communities. And in that sense, witnessing that was powerful and empowering.
Well, let's go to a clip from a Taken. This is of a 30-